Welcome to Zichru Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Brachos Daf Nun Daled. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, everyone is obligated to make a bracha on miracles, on nisim that were performed for the masses, whereas only an individual is obligated to make a bracha on a miracle that was performed on his behalf. Number two, a braisa lists 8 places where one is obligated to recite a bracha due to the nes, the miracle that was performed there. So we have the place of crossing the Yamsuf, the place where we crossed the Yardane, the place of the crossing of the canyons of Arnon, the Nachli Arnon. Those were the Amor, the Amorites, who were waiting in ambush, were crushed miraculously in the mountains. Number four, it's the place of the stones of El Gavish in the descent of Beis Horon. El Gavish means for the sake of a man. These were the hailstones that were suspended in the mid-air for the sake of Moshe by the Makkah Barad, by the plague of hailstones, and later came down for the sake of Yeshua when he defended Givon in the battle with the Amori. So these are the stones of El Gavish for the sake of a man. Number five, the stone that Og, Melch Bashan, the king of Bashan, wanted to throw at Klal Yisrael, the nation. Number six, the stone that Moshe sat upon during the war with Amalek. Number seven, the remains of Lot's wife. And number eight, the wall of Yericho, which was swallowed. So we have the Braisa listing 8 places where one is obligated to make a bracha there because of the nes. And the Gemara later on elaborates on what these 8 miracles were. Number three, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that 4 types of people must give thanks and bench gomo because they survived dangerous situations. Seafarers, people who traveled through the wilderness, one who recovered from an illness, a chola, and one who was freed from prison. So again, seafarers, people who traveled through the wilderness, people who recovered from illnesses, and one who was freed from prison. In addition, Rav Yehuda taught that there are 3 people that need protection from mezikin and demons: a sick person because his muzzle has turned the worse, and therefore more vulnerable, and a chassan and kala. In addition, Rav Yehuda taught that there are 3 people that need protection from mezikin and demons. You have a sick person because his muzzle is turned for the worse, and therefore he's more vulnerable. And then number 2 and 3 is a chassan and kala because the mezikin are jealous of them. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, everyone is obligated to make a bracha on miracles that were performed for the masses, whereas only individuals obligated to make a bracha on a miracle that was performed on his behalf. Number 2, a braisa lists the 8 places where one is obligated to recite a bracha due to the nes, the miracles that were performed there. Number 1, the place where we cross Yamsuf. Number 2, the place where we cross the Yarden. Number 3, the place we crossed the canyons of Arnon, Nachli Arnon. That's where the Amori were crushed in the mountains miraculously as they waited in ambush. Number 4, the place of the stones of El Gavish in the descent of Beis Horon. These were the hailstones that were suspended in midair for the sake of Moshe El Gavish, and later came down for the sake of Yeshua when he defended Givon in the battle with the Amori. Then number 5 is the stone that Og, king of Bashan, wanted to throw at the nation. Number 6, the stone that Moshe Rabbeinu sat on during the war with Amalek. Number 7, the remains of Lot's wife. And number 8, the wall of Yericho, which was swallowed. And the Gemara elaborates on these 8 miracles. Number 3, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that 4 types of people must give thanks and bench gomel because they survived dangerous situations. We have seafarers, people who traveled through the wilderness, one who recovered from an illness, one who was free from prison. And he also, Rav Yehuda, identifies 3 people that need protection from mezikin, from the demons, a sick person because his muzzle is turned for the worse and therefore is more vulnerable. And number 2 and 3 is a chassan and kala because the mezikin are jealous of them. All right, so now we go to our simon. So the simon for Nundalit is going to be noodles. Noodles for Nundalit. So here we go. The caterer transporting spaghetti noodles across the desert, Bench Gomel, after finally delivering them to the well-guarded chassan and kala, who are busy making brachas in the 8 places where miracles occurred. Once again, in slow motion. The caterer transporting spaghetti noodles. Oh, noodles, that reminds us of Rondaf Nundalit. The caterer transporting spaghetti noodles across the desert, Bench Gomel, which reminds the Rav Yehuda said, in the name of Rav, that 4 types of people must give thanks in Bench Gomel because they survived dangerous situations. Seafarers, people who traveled through the wilderness, people who recovered from an illness, and one who was freed from prison. After finally delivering them to the well-guarded chassan and kala, which also reminds us of Yehuda's statement that 3 people are in need of protection from a mezikin: a sick person because his muzzle is turned for the worse and therefore is more vulnerable, and a chassan and kala because the mezikin are jealous of them. After finally delivering them to the well-guarded chassan and kala, who were busy making brachos in the 8 places where miracles occurred. So we have making brachos for miracles. We're taught that everyone's obligated to make a bracha on miracles that were performed for the masses, whereas only an individual is obligated to make a bracha on a miracle that was performed on his behalf. And then we have the brachos that list the 8 places where the miracles occurred: the place where we crossed the Yamsuf, the place where we crossed the Yardane, the place we crossed at Nachli Arnon, the canyons of Arnon, when the Amori, the Amorites, were crushed in the mountains miraculously, the place of the stones of El Gavish, where the hailstones that were suspended in midair for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu later came down for the sake of Yeshua when he defended Givon in the battle with the Amori, we have the stone that Og, Melch Bashan, wanted to throw out the nation, the stone that Moshe Rabbeinu sat on during the war with Amalek, the remains of Lot's wife, and the wall of Yericho that was swallowed. And the Gemara elaborates on what these miracles were. So once again, the caterer transporting spaghetti noodles across the desert Bench Gomel, after finally delivering them to the well-guarded Chasson and Kala, who were busy making brachas in eight places where miracles occurred. All right, so now it's time for four blah back Chazara. Daf Nun. So the sim for Nun is a nincompoop. So here we go. The nincompoop reminding us we're on Daf Nun, who always forgot to make brachas. We learned that if one mistakenly put food in his mouth without reciting a bracha, if it's a liquid, he should swallow it. If it's food that won't be made repulsive by spitting it out, he should spit it out, make the bracha, and then eat it. If spitting it out would make the food repulsive, he should shift it to the side of his mouth, make the bracha, and then eat it. So again, the nincompoop always forgot to make brachas and join in a zimun. So we learned that a group of three ate bread together and then one of them recited Birkas Hamazon on his own without a zimun. He may join the other two in a zimun so they can fulfill their obligation, but he doesn't fulfill his own obligation because there's no such thing as a retroactive zimun, zimun l'mafreya. So it was declared a total ignoramus when the rabbi overheard all the textual changes he made in his benching. Because we learned that the Gemara taught us that one can discern whether a person's a Talmud Chacham or an ignoramus, a boor, from the way that he makes brachas. Daf Ninav, so the sim for Ninav, we said, is gnawing, like gnaw, like a gnawing beaver. And we connect that to a person wearing a beaver pelt hat. Oh, so here we go. The eccentric who insisted on donning his beaver pelt hat, which reminds us we're on Daf Nun Aleph. So the eccentric who insisted on donning his beaver pelt hat when holding up his freshly rinsed kosher bracha, which reminds us of the 10 requirements for a kosher bracha. We have, it must be washed, there's hadacha on the inside, shtifa's rinsing on the outside, chai, it must be fresh, either that they put undiluted wine in and then dilute it with water, or they take it fresh from a barrel. It's got to be full, mole, it's got to be crowned. Two opinions. One, he who recites Birkas Hamazon should surround himself with his students while doing it, or the cups must be surrounded with other cups of wine. Number six, the one who recites Birkas Hamazon should cover himself with a cloak while sitting, or spread a scarf over his head, or in our case, wear a beaver pelt hat. That's called ituf. He should be taken, the coat should be taken with both hands, and then should be placed in the right hand. It should be raised a tefach off the ground, and then the person should concentrate his eyes on it while reciting Birkas Hamazon. So holding up his freshly rinsed kosher bracha got such a fright when he saw the Malach HaMavis standing by his butler, who was holding his shirt, which reminds us the Malach HaMavis told Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi three things. One, do not take your shirt in the morning from the hand of the butler. Two, do not have your hands washed by someone who has not yet washed his own hands. And number three, do not stand in front of women when they are returning from a funeral, because the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, dances before them with his sword in his hand and has permission to harm those he meets. That he started drinking the wine without making a bracha, which reminds us, if one forgot to make a bracha before he ate, he should make one when he remembers and then continue eating. If he's finished eating, he no longer has the opportunity to make a bracha. Daf Nun Beis. So the sim for Nun Beis, we said, is a newbie. So here we go. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, reminding us we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit had finally gotten down the order of brachas for Kiddush and Havdalah. Right? We said the Gemara was resolving a seeming contradiction in Beis Shammai. In the Mishnah and Nun Aleph Amud Beis, Beis Shammai holds that the bracha on Kedushas Hayom, the sanctity of the day, precedes the bracha on the wine, because it's the sanctity of the day which is the cause for the wine to be brought to the meal. Yet in a braisa on Ardav, Nun Beis, Amud Aleph, Beis Shammai holds that the bracha on the wine precedes the bracha of Havdalah, which addresses the nature of the day. So the Gemara answers that according to Beis Shammai, there is no contradiction. When it comes to bringing Shabbos, the more we advance it, the better. Therefore, the bracha on the day comes first. But when it comes to ending the Shabbos day, the more we delay it, the better. Therefore, the bracha of Havdalah comes after the bracha on the wine. So the newbie Yishkeit had finally gone down the order of brachas for Kiddush and Havdalah when he was introduced to the metaphysics of tamei liquids touching utensils. Right, because we said that a tamei liquid that touches the outside of the keli of the utensil renders the outside tamei, but the inside, the rim and the handle, are tahor. But if the tamei liquid touches the inside of the keli of the utensil, then the whole keli becomes tamei. And wet napkins touching his hands. Now, there's no requirement of washing the hands for chulin, non-consecrated food from the Torah, since the hands are not considered a separate entity from the body and cannot contract tumah from a rishon. It's only rabbinic law that they are treated separately and considered a sheni to require someone to wash and to remove the tumah before eating bread. So this explains why Beis Hillel holds that it is of greater concern than the liquid in a wet napkin will lead to food becoming tamei when placed on a table than the liquid in the wet napkin leading to hands becoming tamei when placed on a cushion. That's why he says the wet napkin should be placed on a cushion. So once again, the newbie Yiddishkeit had finally gone down the order of brachas with Kiddush and Havdalah when he was introduced to the metaphysics of tamei liquids touching utensils and wet napkins touching his hands. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simfer Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here we go. The Nigerian prince, reminding us we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince held his fingers up to benefit from the light. We said there's a malchus regarding the Mishnah's meaning when it says one may not make a bracha over the flame until he benefits from its illumination. What does that mean? Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav that one does not actually have to benefit from the light. The bracha is made as long as the light is strong enough that one could benefit from it, even though he is standing far away and personally can't benefit from it now. Rava says that the bracha is only made when he is close enough to the light that he could benefit from it. And this is the basis for looking at our fingernails when making the bracha on the flame in Havdalah, because distinguishing the fingernail and its surrounding skin is similar to discerning the difference between two different small coins or two different weights that are similar in appearances. So the Nigerian prince held his fingers up to benefit from the light that had been lit for illumination, because we were taught that the bracha of Morei Morei Esh was recited only on a flame lit for illumination. If it was lit for other purposes, such as cooking or to honor a prominent person, singing the base of Knesset, his base of Midrash, or to honor the deceased at his funeral, no bracha is recited. And similarly, the bracha Borei Menei Besamim is recited only for a fragrance designated for the enjoyment of its smell. A fragrance used for other purposes, such as perfuming clothing or removing the odor of a decaying corpse, does not merit a bracha. And he made a bracha on all his riches, while his champion servants proudly proclaimed, Amen. Because we said this Malchus Tanaim regarding whether it's preferable to make a bracha or to answer Amen to the bracha. So one braisa holds that saying Amen is greater than the one who makes a bracha, because Rav Nora likens it to battle, where the common soldiers engage the enemy first, followed by the elite troops who come in to seal the victory. But another braisa holds that the heavenly emissaries hasten more to bestow reward on the one making the bracha than on the one answering Amen. All right, so now we're going to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Here we go. Number one. Where do we learn why Beis Shammai holds a wet napkin should be placed on a cushion and not on the table? That's on Duff. Nun Beis. Good. Number two. Where do we have the different proofs that Hatova Hameitiv is a Durabanan? That's on Duff. Mem Vav. Good. Number three. Where do we learn about the four people who need to bench Gomel? That's on Duff. Nun Dod. Good. Number four. Where do we learn how many bread eaters are required to make a minyan for a zimun of 10. That's on Daf. Memches. Good. Number five. Where do the Malkokas regarding which is greater, the one who says bracha or the one who answers amen? That's on Daf. Nun Gimel. Great. Number six. What are the 10 requirements for a koshel bracha? That's on Daf. Nun Aleph. Good. Number seven. Where do we learn about the 8 places where miracles occurred that we're required to make a bracha at? That's on Daf. Nun Dalet. Good. Number eight, where do we learn the one who breaks bread should not break the bread, should not be Botseya, until everybody else finishes saying Amen, because the Amen is part of the bracha procedure? That's on Daf. Mem Zayin. Good. Number nine, where do we learn that you only make a bracha on light that was lit for illumination? That's on Daf. Nun Gimel. And good. And finally, number 10, where do we learn about one who benched and forgot to join the Zeman and what he should do? That's on Daf. Nun. Excellent. All right, so that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.